Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the 53rd episode of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. And 53 episodes deep, we're still celebrating being here. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us. We've had a great couple of weeks since the 50th episode, our little celebration. As always, I say it every week, but thank you so much to everyone for all the DMs, all the love online. It is so appreciative because, well, we need you. Because without listeners, we have nothing. I was absolutely delighted to get this week's guest into the podcast chair. I've been a fan of his work for many, many years. I've never met him before, so I was delighted that he agreed to come on the podcast and sit down and to talk about his journey in photography and, you know, his career and his life and how he views the world. So it was an absolute honour to have photographer Evan Doherty in with me today. We spoke about lots of stuff, his journey into photography, working on different projects, you know, just life. We just had one of those really cool, really relaxed, really chill conversations, and he is so down to earth and so nice. He was just such a pleasure to have in. So I hope you enjoy the conversation, and I think you will. So as always, if you listen, if you enjoy, make sure that you get online, that you share the podcast, that you tell your friends, tell your family members. You never know what they might hear in the podcast that might inspire them to go on and to be better in their lives. But before I let you go, enjoy the 53rd episode of the First Exchange podcast with Evan Doherty. Let me just remind you all that we have a new partnership with the wonderful Dubliner Whiskey. And for the last couple of weeks, we have been running a competition on our social media, on our Instagram in particular. And in that competition, you can win yourself a fabulous, delicious bottle of Dubliner Whiskey. Get onto our social and get yourself entered to win a fantastic bottle. And if you have entered and you want more from us, well, you can have more. Dubliner Whiskey have very kindly given us our own promo code that if you go to dld.com, you can do some online shopping for Dubliner Whiskey once you're over 18 years of age, and you can avail of 10% off. So if you've got someone's birthday coming up, it's Christmas soon, or you just want to have a lovely bottle of whiskey for yourself in the gaff, then go to dld.com and type in the promo code Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A, my name. How great is that? And you will get yourself 10% off. So enjoy, get your bottle, screenshot, or take a picture, send it to us, and let us know how you're enjoying a glass of Dubliner Whiskey with the First Exchange podcast. Anyway, before I keep going on, let me let you go. Enjoy the 53rd episode of the First Exchange podcast with Evan Doherty. Evan Doherty.
How's it going?
Welcome to the First Exchange podcast.
How are you?
I'm really good, yeah.
Delighted to be here.
I'm so happy that you
fancy
came in.
Studio.
Well, we were just talking. Yeah, this is Collaborative Studio, Shane
lovely
Dempsey.
Stuff. Lovely stuff. So what's the crack?
Just embracing the end of the world.
I know, yeah. Jesus Christ. It's bananas, isn't it?
How's it been for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's obviously, you know, it's always kind of the same thing. Even like Shane saying you're everything's going well. Finally, everything's going well and it's all lovely. And then it's just, yeah. But the thing is, I guess everybody's sort of in the same boat, aren't they?
Was there any major plans that had fallen through for you this year?
Well, probably just like personal stuff, like trying to buy a house and, you know,
that's
all that kind of stuff is just sort of like, you know, I wouldn't say it's out the window, but it's definitely put on ice for, well, you just don't know. You just don't know what way the banks are going to go and all these sort of things as well. So I guess that was sort of like just, I mean, you know, that was in my kind of plans at some stage. I was like, oh, maybe, Jesus, I can buy a house as a freelance freelancer, you know what I mean?
I love hearing someone that is following a passion and it's their career and they're also buying a house.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, wait, see, this is the thing, like, what it takes. Like I said, I'm on Georgia Street 8 years there renting the space, which are the first couple of years, you're barely... Sometimes, I was only saying, actually, to one of the lads recently who bought a big, huge house on the Coast Road, one of my friends, and we lived together, and he was downstairs for a few years. And he was saying, we're talking about me getting a house the other day, and he was saying, should you remember we used to go out for steak dinners and then we'd be looking for like euros down the back of the couch to get home when we first rented the space, you know? I was like, yeah. And he's like, look, and this is why we're in his house, you know, he's a lovely house in Port Marnock. So, and he's a solicitor, a freelance, and, you know, we started kind of at the same time. So it is good to see, you know, there are people doing well, and I think everything sort of has to be, you know, put on hold or reevaluated now, you know. So my business, I couldn't really do anything for the lockdown.
Well, for anyone that doesn't know, photography is your
yeah,
area.
Yeah, sorry.
So people will be listening going, so he's a solicitor, is it?
Yeah, photography is...
that's your area.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like... how long have you been, like, we'll say, do you say professionally being a professional photographer?
Yeah, I guess, I suppose, since really, like, I don't know, like, I'd kind of, when I got the studio space, I was like, right, you know, this is, I'm paying rent in the place.
Yeah.
I got to make it work. Yeah, that was 2012 now. So that was sort of a time, I mean, a lot of people, like, a lot of, like, marketing budgets were cut and, you know, there was, like, you know, that whole kind of, like, even like I started kind of doing stuff for Dunn Stores at the start, and that, you know, basically the guy I was assisting at the time, Barry McCall, he was kind of the head honcho there, and then all of a sudden they had no marketing team, and I just started doing little sort of bits for them. Now they have a whole studio set up there as well, but like it was sort of like, you know, any sort of job I could get my hands on, I was doing headshots, and just that was kind of usually the start of it, you know. I was always taking photos, like I used
from a young age.
I just had a little small camera, like, and my mom bought me like a little snappy 35mm camera, like just a, not even a good thing, just a little, you know, point and shoot camera.
Did she buy it for you as like, I'm just going to buy you a little gift, or were you like, can I have a camera?
I probably was like using whatever camera she probably had at the time. Not the way every family had. Sort of it wasn't even a good camera. I think she got on holidays for me probably for like a fiver or something, you know. And she and I used to just take photos and bring them down to the chemist. That's the way it used to be. And she used, and I think the cost, I think about £7, I think, to develop a roll of film
really
back then,
expensive.
You know.
And you didn't know whether they were going to turn out.
Yeah,
so I remember you throwing in a roll of film and you get like, you pay for them and then two photographs will come out of your like,
exactly.
Your roll.
And that's what it was like. So I sort of, I think I have pictures of like everyone, see, it's so different now because everybody has access to a camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when you had 26 or 32 shots on a, you know, point and shoot camera, you try and make, you know, you try to be like, oh, make sure I get 32 good photos. Now people take 57 selfies before they put one up.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I think it's a good thing that everyone has a camera, but, you know, I think the only thing I don't think is necessarily great is, you know, when it comes to people, you know, being in control of their own image all the time, people get very fussy, you know, like give it, when I started, if so, you could just take a picture of somebody and had a sort of a blurry effect in the background, people would be like, whoa. Now you can do it on the phone. So, so everybody is sort of like, you know, everyone is sort of like, just over that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people want, if they take a photo, they want to take it themselves. They want to put it into Lightroom themselves. They want to, you know, get rid of that spot on their chin or whatever it kind of might be.
That is such an interesting point, Evan. We had Babs Daly in here a couple of weeks ago, another photographer.
Yeah.
And I was asking her about the same, similar kind of question about like social media and selfies and that kind of thing. And I said, what would you say is the biggest negative of all of that? And she said exactly the same thing. It is the control aspect of when she's behind the camera, and that the model or whoever the subject is, they're not in control of the photograph, what she sees, what she takes.
Yeah, of course.
So that's the biggest transition that she sees over the years.
And I find that people are more like likely to ask you then, you know, like, you know, say someone's not used to getting their photo taken, they're kind of like, hey, can I see the photo? Or, you know, that kind of thing. Where years ago, you take a photo photo and people just trust, have this sort of trust in you. So now everyone's like, can you show me the photo? Can you show me this? Can you show me that? And it's almost like there's a kind of an overconsumption of images now. Like when you're doing a shoot, sometimes you have like about 10 people over your shoulder and you're just taking extra photos and extra photos just to, you know.
Yeah. So do you, in those moments, you know, for those of us who don't have the photography backgrounds, do you know when you get the shot?
Ah, yeah, you usually know.
So sometimes I just have to take these extra pictures just to fill a time slot or, what way does it work?
Yeah, we did a job actually in the UK there a couple of years ago. And I remember it was for Reebok and it was me and my friend were shooting it. And like we were like, after an hour, we were like, it was because only four outfits. We were like, we're done here. If the client wasn't here, we'd like wrap it up now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we had to just kind of like shoot for the day to justify, you know,
budget spend.
Whatever. Yeah, probably like there are cases like that. But I think after a while, people sort of trust.
Yeah.
If they know you, they trust you. But when you're in the UK and they don't, like, and I thought, Jesus, Reebok UK, and you go there and it's like three people in an office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You expect it to be this big thing, but most of
a lot of floors.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I mean, you know, sometimes the job just happens and it depends what the job is, whether it's e-com or if it's an editorial job, you kind of have your, you know, your sort of free reign to do whatever you want. So it just depends. That's the, I think, with any sort of job or any sort of, you know, artistic job, when it's a commercial job, you know.
You must have people just automatically trusting you now because of your background and your what you've built up over the years. There must be an automatic trust there, is there?
I think there is a trust now, I think, but I think it can take a long time to sort of build it up, you know. You sort of got to build up a certain style as well. And, you know, if you can tick a few boxes, people will sort of trust you as well to, you know, to deliver the job or whatever the job might be. Or, I mean, if it's your own commercial job, or if it's your own editorial job and you have a mood board and you have everything set in place, like people would trust you, you know. And I mean, after years of being able to deliver, like, you know, you build up that kind of trust and with the clients, you know. So
was this, you know, when you look back on your sort of the career that you've had to date, can you remember a point where you said, I'm actually quite good at this, or I can make a career out of this?
I think that's kind of the reason I probably got the studio. I actually went into sound engineering when I was 18.
Your brother is in music, right?
Dr. Dre. Yeah, yeah.
Dan,
Dan. He's his own recording studio. He was actually a drummer for years. I wanted to be a drummer in mass. I just can't get a set of drums. And he did the right thing. And he just went out and bought a set of drums, which is
I used to be in a band myself.
Oh, did you?
And we used to play with, don't tell me now, what's, with the two twins.
Yeah, Colin and Brian.
Yeah, what's the name of the band?
Well, I don't know. I think they did a few different names. Sick Boy
was probably the biggest band.
Yeah.
When Sick Boy ended, they went out on their own, didn't they?
Yeah, I think I don't know what they were still called, Sick Boy. To treat them, I don't know.
They were great bands.
Yeah, they were.
But I remember, I always remember when I met Dan and one of the guys in my band, Danda, Daniel Paxton. I remember when I got introduced to Dan, when we left, he was like, he is incredible. Like, he's an absolute genius. And I haven't seen him for years. I haven't spoken to him, but I always hear from the lads that he's just doing so well with producing and stuff. It's so nice to hear.
Yeah, he's doing well. He has a studio. I actually helped him. He kind of took on a bigger, well, he's in the same space, but he kind of took on an extra room for, you know, a control room and stuff. So,
yeah,
he's doing well. He's done stuff like Fontaines, DC and all that kind of. And
amazing.
He's always recording. And even coming out of lockdown, he said, sure, everybody was at home writing songs.
Yeah, he's going to be busy for the next 2 years.
Yeah, so he was busy coming out, you know. But yeah, I did sound engineering for a year. I think he did a year before me then in Pulse. And then I think obviously we were always at home making music on the
computer. Well, I was just about to say, what a creative house you've come from. Were your parents creative?
No.
Really?
No, not really. My mom was on her own, so she was just trying to support the three of us. So
maybe she
is creative. I don't know. She was like, fucking paying her arse, I think, trying to bring three lads up.
Get in there and play the guitar. Don't come out until you have a song, Rob.
I started playing the guitar when I was 12. And that was actually, my band was Colin and Brian. Colin O'Brien, and a lad, Peter, he played the piano, and we were 12 because the lads were in my class in primary school.
That's so cool.
That's how Dan knows them. That's how Dan is in the band, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we broke up and Dan stole them from me. Which, I don't know, do we have a name?
The pain in your voice there.
I don't think we did. Yeah, we were only talking about it actually the other day with the song we had. We had a song called Guilt. It was about killing someone. And we're
very good.
I was when we were 12. So bad.
Artistic expression, right?
Every time you see them, like, remember that tune we wrote? So I did that sound engineering for a year, and then I did fuck all. I went and worked for Irish Ferries. My mate's dad was like, here, do you want a job? Yeah. Worked like I was cooking on the boats for like 4 years.
Deadly.
And then we just, it was actually shy.
Sounds like such a romantic job. I was cooking on a ferry for months.
It was like a ferry to fucking Holyhead and back, so it wasn't that glamorous. So it's like a fucking pistol ferry. So I did that for about 4 years. And then I actually went, we all got made redundant. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And my friend's mom was like, do you want to, you're a man to photography. Why don't you do a photography course? I do a PLC course in Marino in fucking the Five Lamps there. So I was like, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And she just rang me the next day going, I signed you up to that portfolio course. Just do it for the year. And I was like, all right, Grant. So that's kind of when I started photography then. I bumped into a few people in there. One of the lads who was in my class, like, I'm doing a bit of assistant work for this fashion photographer. And then I was looking at the stuff he was doing. I was like, whoa, that's cool. I would love to do that. Got on to a few photographers. And eventually Barry McCall, who'd be like, you know, he'd be like a big photographer still. You know, he's shot like everybody, you know.
He's shot. I always remember someone telling me that Naomi Campbell, he shot, right?
Yeah, he did that for Newbridge. Yeah. He shot Naomi Campbell.
His portfolio is massive.
Yeah, he's shot all like Hollywood actors and all that kind of stuff. So he's really, really big. So I assisted him for about 6 weeks maybe. And I think in the first couple of weeks, we had shot like, yeah, there was like U2 were in, and it was like Brian O'Driscoll and all these people, and I was like, whoa, this place is fucking cool. I want to be a photographer this day.
What was it about, like, the sort of the 6 weeks or the period? Like, what was it, the fact that you were, you know, got to be creative with all these like people that were coming to the doors?
I was just holding a reflector and getting sandwiches. But it was just, he was, and I got on really well with Barry, and it was just like every day was just so different.
Yeah.
And pretty much just rock up on whatever, like, so you'd be up at like 5 o'clock in the morning showing up to a location, and even just the modeling, the hair and the makeup and the clothes and all that kind of stuff. Like, not something like mad into hair, makeup and clothes, but just everything just coming together and all the elements coming together, and then seeing the finished product, seeing it in print or seeing it in an ad or whatever. And I was like, this is like, because I was mad into like art, drawing and painting and stuff when I was younger. So, and I used to just draw like famous people all the time. I used to draw like Bob Marley and fucking and he's up Tupac and whoever it may be, you know, that and Stone Roses and Oasis, and he used to draw, like, so I was mad into drawing portraits and stuff. So I guess it kind of, you know, when it came to composition and stuff and shooting people, it all kind of worked for me as well.
That's,
you know,
so interesting.
Yeah,
I love one of my favorite things when we have people in is finding out why people do what they do, like what led them onto like being who they are.
Even with the photography thing, I was mad into like graffiti and spray painting. So that was the first sort of, that was what made me like constantly shoot all the time. We used to go and spray paint like all sort of Dublin artists and stuff. So I used to go and take shots of people, say someone go, oh, so-and-so finished a piece down in the lane down there. I'd go and take a picture of it, and I used to scan it on the computer and up. I had a website, like an Irish graffiti website. And I used to upload all the stuff onto the website. And that was in like 1998. So I was only 14 when I was doing that. So that was like young. That was like, you'd be scanning a photo. It would like take about 10 minutes to like scan a photo and then uploading it on it. Like,
but this is obviously before like social media, right?
Aye, this is before social media.
And MySpace wasn't even out in 94, was
it? No, it wasn't 94. It was, sorry, 98 it was. I was 14, 98.
How old are you now?
35.
Oh, damn it.
How old are you?
36.
I'm 36, yeah. I actually look young. You're baby-faced.
So do you. You look very young as well.
When I tell people look 35 now, they, maybe not today, but sometimes like, oh, jeez, I thought you were younger.
I still get asked for ID in Aldi, so
yeah, Dan, I'll take that. Actually, my brother still gets asked for ID for smokes sometimes. And
really?
He's like two kids. He does look like, he looks like a proper little baby now. He's a proper baby-face. But yeah, so it was, that was kind of the start, and it was just taking pictures of, graffiti and art, and like, to be honest with you, I was mad into it, but I wasn't that good, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was into the painting and stuff, but I wasn't as good. But I was just interested in shooting everything and shooting the colors, and I mean, you can see now, even just kind of that art now is so popular as well, you know. You have like Macer and Aches and all these lads, so it's a, you know, and I'm still kind of connected with them. I met Macer when I was in a field, like when I was like probably 14, 15, so in Baldoyle, I met him, the backer, he was painting a piece, he did a little shout out and all on the side of it, so I always, every time I'm talking to him, like, jeez, I remember meeting you in a field years ago.
Really?
Yeah, 20 years ago,
we had him in here as well, he was telling us all about starting out. It's just so cool, like, do you know what I mean? To think of like him being in fields, or you guys being in fields, and to where you end up, you know,
and it's mad, and
that has shaped you.
He was even saying the same thing to me. I was like, Jesus Christ, I remember me, like, this was in Baldoyle race course, which is all apartments now, but he used to rock up to that field. I used to go up with my camera because every week there'd be new paintings there because the walls are really good, and it was like a huge field, and no one would ever stop you, you know, they're going to make, because obviously it was illegal. And still is illegal, obviously, but you know, the likes of Al, he's done so well for himself as well now. Like, and sometimes I think to myself, Jesus, you know, he's done so much stuff. I'm like, did you not put that up? It's seen on like Wembley Stadium, the steps there. I'm like, do you not be showing people more of that stuff? You need to post more. He's done some huge, huge gigs, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of that was it then. After that, then it kind of, that was when I always kept the camera with me, you know. So, like, even growing up, I have pictures of everything from, like, my confirmation to, you know, that way, like, I used to take the camera with me, but now everybody has everyone has a camera in their pocket. I don't think people really print photos anymore, you know, so.
My mother does.
Does she?
Oh, stop. Really? She's desperate. She takes, she saves photographs, like, off my Instagram and, like, Facebook, and then I come home and she's one of those, like, really tacky, photo album things. Just, like, Mom, that was, like, a selfie I took on a night out. Like,
she
puts them up on the wall, yeah. She's a spare room where she's all just, like, photographs.
That's cool, because no one, like, has that, like, tangible print anymore, you know? I don't even print that many photos myself. It's only recently I was shooting 35mm for the first time, and it's years, you know, on a shoot, like, but geez, it's great just to have that print now, which people just don't really do anymore, you know.
What's your favorite camera to use?
Favorite, like to be honest with you, it's at the moment I'm just using 5D, which is like a real.
I'm asking you this standard. Like, I know, I have no idea.
Yeah, but I'd use like a Canon. It would be like, you know, a Canon would be my kind of camera of choice.
I go to.
Yeah, just because it's. It's all changing now. Everybody's using kind of Sony now. All the young people use Sonys, and they're all the new Sony A7Rs. They're kind of the technology. They're almost like, you know, sometimes I see some of the stuff. You kind of know when someone shot something on the Sony. All young people are buying it. They're just because they're great for video, and you know, video so big now. So for video and stills and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, Canons. I've just been using Canon for years. It's just
when you shoot. Do you see the photograph in a particular way? So like when, you know, when a musician is in the studio and they hear music, they see it in waves, or Jason Byrne was in here a couple of weeks ago and he said that he sees his comedy in paint, in colours.
Yeah, yeah. I think like composition wise, you'd see, I guess, yeah, like it, even when it comes to say you're putting like, say for a shoot, you're putting a mood board together, and, you know, when you have the hair and the makeup, the styling, the location, you know, when all the elements are coming together, like from what you have together on your mood board and from what you might see in your eye, like it does eventually sort of like come together like a painting, I'd say as well. But you have a vision of what you're going to shoot, and when it comes together, like there's no better feeling when it comes together and actually looks, you know, looks exactly how you imagine it to look, you know.
Do you have a favourite photograph or a favourite project that you've worked on?
A favourite project that I've worked on, I guess, like, I mean, there's a lot of projects I like working on, and I think for different reasons for everything, you know. Sometimes I think with a lot of photographers as well, their portfolio, I guess it's, you know, you're never really happy as well, you know. You're kind of, there are things that I'm literally like loving going through the whole process of doing it, shooting it, getting it done, going through the photos, and then by the time it goes to print, you hate it. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's like recording a song as well, and you're in a band and you're on stage playing it like for a year, and you're like, I hate that album.
Yeah, and then someone in the crowd saying, play the hit, you're like, I want them dead.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's like there are jobs I enjoyed over the years for different reasons, whether it's for like, you know, you're like under pressure, or you say you might be shooting on location, or you might, because like I've done a lot, like I don't just necessarily shoot a lot of stuff in studio. It can be just like any sort of like job. It can be sometimes you're fucking under pressure to get the shots or whatever. You only have a, you know, a certain amount of time to get a certain shot, or else it's like your personal projects, you know, you might be able to kind of take a bit more time to do stuff. But I think everything is, you know, I think sometimes I'm just like, I even say it to my girlfriend, I'm just like, geez, I'm just, I think we should be just happy that we're able to do this for 100%. A living. You know what I mean?
100%.
I'm like, this is great.
Do
like,
you feel lucky that you're one of those people that have found something that you're passionate for,
found
a bit of a purpose, and not only are you able to do it and pay rent, but be successful at it?
Ah, yeah, 100%. Like, I think it's, sometimes I'm just like, have to kind of just, like it's, you know what, I always look back at even when I was working, like, because I did all the little jobs when I was younger, I was working, doing trolleys and Super Quinn and doing work and Super, whatever it was, you know, at the start, or even like, even just getting the studio, and like some days going, geez, I don't even have any fucking money, you know, that kind of way, to get lunch or whatever, and just, I fucking hope I can pay the rent or whatever it might be, you know, for the first year. And it wasn't like I was like a teenager, I was like 20, how many, 8 years ago, I was like 27, you know, that kind of way, 28, it wasn't like I was like, oh, this is like, I was older, like, I'd had a job for 4 or 5 years that we were probably getting paid too much money for, working for Irish Ferries or whatever it might be, to actually having, you know, no money, to being on the dole, you know, for a couple of years, and then going to college and then having fuck all money, and then actually being able to, like, and then slowly appreciating, you know, getting money for jobs you actually enjoy doing. And it's just like a slow process. Now you have people in assisting me, and I'd say to them, look here, you know, or whatever, I might pass them on a job and say, look, do you want to do this job? Think you can do it? Like, get up $2,000 I want to. And you're like, I'm like, you can't fucking, you know what I mean? I'm like, you can't. Like, you've done nothing. Like, you've no portfolio. Like, I'm like, so it's sort of like, I think it's when you're slowly sort, and I was living in my ma's gaff as well. You know what I mean? For years. Like, it's not like I'm out of my ma's like years. I'm fucking, I moved out a few years ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, you need to slowly do it. When you're slowly building up business and slowly building up clientele, you appreciate getting paid for doing the work as well. And I think if you're, and I've said this before, like, just if you're anyway sort of like sound and reliable, and you can, you don't necessarily, like, because there's photographers out there who are fucking, I just looked at stuff, I'm like, I can't even like fucking fathom doing that kind of stuff, you know, and they're brilliant, and you know, but some people, even in college, there's loads of people in my college, I don't know if, I think maybe one or two of them ended up doing photography and actually are still doing it now, but I think, and they were 10 times better than I was, like, technically everything, but some people just, I don't think, you know, are cut out for the, or have the patience to kind of slowly, you know, build up business.
Yeah.
Some people, if they can't make money in the first year, like, fuck this.
Well, there's a really good quote. What is this? God, I always do this and I never get it right. Those who sow the seeds should not. Sorry. There we
go. Get on to Google there.
Don't plant the seed and expect
something to sow it, is it?
Don't sow. This is so embarrassing. I do this every
cut
week.
Cut this out now. And remember.
don't sow the seed and expect to eat the fruit on the same day.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that an apt kind of? Thanks very much.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But that's really interesting, the way you say there about passing on jobs and people being like, I want X amount of money for it. Because I remember having, not an argument, but a heated debate with somebody about, you know, I would have been very like that when I started out with Fight Connect TV as my other baby. Yeah. And, you know, I worked for free for 3 years. Yeah, I mean, I traveled the country and worked for 3 days on the trot for no money, and all because I had a vision and I knew where it would go. And I remember a friend of mine being like, I don't know what is going on with you, but like, you need to like get some self-worth and like cop on. Cause she was basically, she couldn't see, like, I was saying, it will pay off. I know
of course,
this is, it's numbers, it's views. I know if I keep doing it, it will build the audience and then the money will come afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
And, just having that kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
And then having a conversation on the back of that with someone much younger, about 10, 15 years younger than me, that's starting out in sort of like creative content.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't do anything for free. I know my worth. And I was like, well, best of luck to you with that, because I think you have to hustle. And you have to grind, and you have to 100%. Get your hands dirty and just know that it will pay off. And sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, 100%.
And you look back and you go, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. Or I'll never do anything like that again. But
I don't think it. I think if, you know, there's certain things, elements in, like, there's certain jobs I've done. I was like, what the fuck was I doing that for?
Yeah.
But, like, I've always stuck to my guns. I'm like, I know, like you asked me earlier, like, what was the first thing when you're kind of like, I can make money? And that was just my next door neighbor came back from the States that I used to live beside years ago in my mom's place. And he was like, oh, your mom said you're doing photography now in college. I said, whatever, like, I'm 25. And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I'm working in Dunn Stores in the head office. I'm back. He was working in New York. He was with Dermot, his name, working in Baby Gap. And he was like, come in and do you want to come in and do a couple of photos of clothes and stuff? So I was like, yeah, grand. And I was after assisting Barry and stuff. So I was like, look, I'll be able to. So I said to my mom, I was like, here, mom, I need to buy fucking lights. I have to go. I'm after going in and had a meeting with them and telling, like, it was Michael Heffernan. I think what's he own now? He owns one that was like Online Cloud. And he's one of the Heffernan sons who own Dunn Stores.
Yeah.
So the meeting with him was like a desk like that long. It was just me and him. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I didn't even have a portfolio to show him. I just told him, I can do that and I can do this. And I just ripped out pages of magazines. I can do all this stuff.
He's probably like, he's fantastic. He didn't even bring a portfolio.
So
fuck him.
I went in. He was like, okay, let's do a test shoot. And we did a test shoot with someone out of the office. And that was the first kind of job we done. Did another shoot then with all the products and stuff. And it went to print and it was like on, like, it was like the first thing was like in windows and in billboards and everything. It was the first thing I did, like first job I'd kind of done photography. And I was like, obviously, if they think it's good enough to fucking put in a billboard and print it out in shops, and it was in all over. I got paid fuck all for it. I didn't care. I was there for like 3 months. And I didn't really give a shit. I was like, you know what? I know now this is my first client and I know I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and that game. And then people just writing on Facebook, or Bebo, I think it was at the time, people being like, that's deadly. You know what I mean?
So you've made it.
I was like, sweet. I can actually, you know, make money doing it. Even though I didn't make any money doing it, I was like, I can make, if a company like that will trust me,
having Dunn's on your portfolio
at the start, even though it was just like someone just standing there with a handbag and a white background, I was like, this is it. I've made it.
what's been some of your proudest moments?
I guess, like, just,
and it doesn't have to be work. In life proud moments.
Proud moments, I don't know, I guess, like, things that I'm kind of proud of, it's just been able to kind of create a business and you know, make money for it and build kind of relationships with everybody as well. You know, I always think that's definitely,
well, you're very much well liked, aren't you?
Important things. I don't know if I'm well liked.
Oh, you are. I don't.
People always say to me, Jesus, she says you're a bleeding moany bastard. I was like, what was that? Oh, yeah, I probably was that day.
Well, when I said you were coming on the podcast, anyone that I know that knows you was like, oh, I love him. He's fantastic.
People, I mean, do you know what? Like, I think that is definitely, and it's, I say the same thing to most young people. I'm like, if you, and anyone that I have met that's doing well now, like, they're all, especially in Ireland, like, you just have to be kind of like sound, like, people have to be like in some way able to hold a conversation with somebody and be sociable, you know. There's some people are kind of, you know, introverts and they don't say much, and then you see their work and like, right, okay, I get his buzz, he gets the job done, he's, you know, that's the way he is. But like, I mean, I think Ireland is, especially my kind of business, because it was all about going out at the start and meeting people and doing this and doing that. And I think it still has a big social element, because you're just on set with people all the time and you're like traveling and you're like, you know, you're constantly kind of like moving. Or every day is, you know, a different day. And like you said, even with yourself, you're traveling up and down the country and you're meeting like all these fighters and all these people you've, you know, watched over the years. And, you know, I get that. Even we did the thing for Dave, you know, Dave Fogarty, Connor's photographer.
Yeah, train with Dave,
He got me to do the first proper 12 campaign. He came into me and was like, here, I've obviously shooting Connor for years, but I've never done like a fucking campaign, and, you know, will you fucking help me do it? And I was like, of course you can fucking do it. You've been like, all you need to do is, you know, put together a mood board and pick the locations, and we picked the locations. So that was like, even seeing that element of him, how he was working with Connor. Connor just fucking runs around, like shows up 2 hours late. You know what I mean? And just
only 2 hours for you, was it?
I think one of the,
I've known him to turn up 3 days late cases.
We did. Dave was, I think, on holidays. And he asked me to do something else, and I think call time's like at 8, and I think he showed up like 2 and got the and left at like 3. But he got the job done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's, and seeing like, and working with somebody like that as well, like that's a tough gig for Dave. You're kind of like, have to stay ready all the time. He could be like, we're going to Vegas, and then he doesn't know when he's home.
I'm over the years, Dave's been like, I have to go. See you later. I'm gone. Yeah. I'm going to bleeding, whatever. Yeah. But with Connor, obviously, he's got a wealth of experience now being behind the camera, but is it a little bit different working with someone like Conor McGregor as opposed to like a professional model who that's the day job?
I think Conor is like a professional model though. Like the minute like you have him in front of the camera, he's just like, he knows
comes
what
alive.
Looks good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's always like, his life is playing almost to the camera. It's almost like his own movie that he's starring in. You know what I mean? Which was great, because even I was like, I think I took like one picture at the start, and I was like, fuck, that's a great shot.
Really?
Delighted I get that in my portfolio. Yeah, but he's just a mover, you know, that kind of way, and he looks good on camera. So I think that's Dave. Like, it'd be different for Dave if he was shooting, you know, someone maybe not as, without that personality, you know, that kind of way. So it's great to, obviously having someone like, Connor is like a male model though. He is, he moves like a male model. He just has the swagger.
Yeah.
You know, so he's easy to,
give us an example of direction for someone like Connor McGregor.
Do you know what? I don't think he can
swag.
He can't really give him direction. I don't even think, like, even the first time I shot him, I think Dave was there and Dave was like, I don't think he likes you. Because I was like telling him, go back and do that again.
Yeah.
And Dave was like, that's one of the reasons he asked me to be part of the job, because like Dave was like, I can't tell him to do that.
Yeah.
Listen to
Dave
me.
Probably just didn't open his mouth to
Dave
him.
Dave was like, yeah. So I was like, go back and do that. And then I think, because we had to shoot for 2 days, and he definitely didn't like me. And I think he'd said to Dave, what the fuck is your man doing here? And then it wasn't until one of his security came in, and I knew him from years ago, Dennis. And then he was like, oh, I haven't watched the story, blah, blah, blah. And then after that, I think Connor was like, right, actually, he's all right.
Yeah.
And then by the next day, then Connor texted me on Instagram, being like, look, because we went from Dublin to up north, and we're shooting, and we're fucking up all night or whatever, and the next day he just texted me going, look, do you know what, thanks very much, you were fucking brilliant or whatever.
Well, they turned out phenomenal.
And then he got me again to do another bit for him, or asked me a couple of times when Dave wasn't available, so I was just like, I'll take that then, that's grand.
You're in the crew now.
And I'm like, because I'm not a big UFC head or whatever. Well, I am sort of now. I wouldn't be as hardcore obviously as yourself, but like I'd watch like the big fights or whatever, you know.
Did you ever do a bit yourself? No,
we did. Bollocks. I actually shot stuff with Gymshark before, and
brilliant.
Owen was like, oh, come down. And
Owen Roddy is their brand.
Come down
brand
and roll around
in
Charlestown. I was like, me fuck, I can't. My knees, I have like bogey knees. I'm like, no.
Did you not go down?
No.
Evan.
I could probably go down again, but like, there's no point to me going down. I'm too heavy to be rolling around.
That's an excuse. Get yourself down there.
Are you doing it as well?
I do jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. Yeah. I only fight in jiu-jitsu, not in Muay Thai.
You know, Dave, Metabolic Dave.
Gorgeous Dave.
Gorgeous Dave.
Yeah. Metabolic Fitness.
Sexy Dave.
Sexy Dave, yeah.
Yeah. He trains. Do you train that place, Collie and all?
Yeah, Dublin Combat Academy, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, they look like they're solid lads.
So the training in there is.
Yeah.
Dave does PTs with Collie, so he doesn't come down sparring, but holy crap.
Yeah, no, I always say to him, would he not go? Would he not have an else spar?
He's really good.
Yeah, he's so powered. Like,
for anyone listening, go, what's his Instagram? It's Metabolic Fitness. Dave is like, he's nearly 40, is he?
He's 41.
He is. Shane,
he's
Google
a baby
him there.
Face.
He is in unbelievable nick. Like,
he doesn't
incredible.
He doesn't eat bread around.
Yeah.
That's why he looks so good. That's the only reason he looks well, is because he eats bread.
And he's like running. Oh, you do a lot of hiking with him though, don't you? Did I see you do hiking?
Yeah. Dave's just active as well, looks after himself. I think he's like, you know, it's gas. Anyone that I know that meets him is just like, Jesus, he's in some nick, that fella,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
I remember we'd run in Hoth and I'd be a mile behind him. And I could, you know, people would be, you'd be running by people and you go, geez, I see your man back there with his top off. You could hear them talking about him.
You hear the gasps of women as they pass.
They'd be loving him, yeah. But that's it as well. Like, I mean, he's kind of the top of his sort of game as well. I guess if you're, you know, if you're in that sort of fitness business, you need to kind of, you know, look the part, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, you're your own portfolio, essentially, aren't you?
100%, yeah. But, I go through phases now. Lockdown, that was the only thing that was keeping me sane. It was probably... I was actually meeting Dave, I think, a lot of the days going for cycles and stuff like that as well. Because it's just, for me, I couldn't do anything really during lockdown. I was trying to do little bits and bobs of whatever I could, taking pictures myself. I was coming into town the other time. Just, geez, there was nothing to do. Mm. But once lockdown ended now, I was just flat out then again. Mm. Everybody kind of, I think, everyone was worried that there was going to be a lockdown again. I didn't ever think we were going to be lockdown again, you know. Well, here you go.
Did you get, or have you gotten over the course of the journey, creative lulls, and what brings you back to being totally inspired?
You definitely. I think bits of life kind of bring you back to being inspired as well. You go through phases. I think when something becomes like a job, like there was even a couple of weeks ago, I was even saying to Jenny, I was like, "Geez, I'm wrecked now and I'm miles behind," and you're just saying, "Yeah, I can do that," and you're showing up and you're shooting and you're on the computer then to like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're getting up at six and you're doing like a whole, you know, 3 day shoot again. So I think it's just sometimes you need to just definitely take a break. I think, to be honest with you, when we said we're going to second lockdown again, I was like, if we can, I don't mind if it's like, I wouldn't mind like 3 weeks off, to be honest with you. I was like, and I'm still playing catch up now. From like, I've been trying to play catch, and I was meant to have like a big enough shoot then for another 4 days. So when we did go into second lockdown, I was like, you know what, I need to just take a breather anyway. So it was nice just to, I'm still catching up now. So it was nice to just, you know, take a bit of a break. But luckily enough, it was working. It's people who aren't. And that's another thing, you're kind of like, you know, luckily enough, I was able to go straight back in and work. You know, luckily my job isn't, you know, you're not in a crowded office or whatever. You're in like small groups of people. So that was one sort of thing that I was, you know, I'm obviously fairly grateful for. But hopefully, you just don't know what way it's going to go, really, do you?
You don't.
That's the thing.
Could you imagine yourself doing something different?
No, there's no way. I'd be... I always even kind of said I'd love to just work for myself, you know. Even when I was working for Irish Ferries, I got to the stage where I was like, I started the job just like normal everyday collecting trays, and then I was in the kitchen on my own. And I was like, I like being in the kitchen on my own. I like people not like asking me like stupid questions all the time, you know what I mean? I do kind of like working. Like, I don't necessarily like working on my own. I love working with like different people all the time, but you know, I like sort of being my own boss. But then again, at the end, like any job, you're always answering to somebody. Like, I might have 10 other bosses on to me asking me where is this and where is that, you know what I mean? But that's all part of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you believe in life purpose?
Do I believe in life purpose?
Yeah. Do you believe that you were put here to do this?
Do I believe I was put here to do this? I don't know, to be honest with you. I believe... What do I believe? I don't know. Do I believe I was put here to do this? I think it was definitely, it was meant to do, had something to do with art. I think it had to be like, you know, even when I was, you know, from play school to fucking now, it was just, I was all about like either painting or drawing or creating some sort of art, you know. But with work, there definitely is a love-hate sort of thing. You know, with photography, sometimes I'm like, oh, fucking just like, I'd go to like, even when I started, you'd go to an event and they'd be like, "Where's your camera?" And you'd be like, "Fuck off. Just let me just enjoy the christening or whatever the fuck I was at." You know what I mean? but there's people like, even one of my friends now, he's Tony Kelly. He's from Finglas now. He'd be like a big, big photographer. And he'd be like doing, you know, massive campaigns for, you know, for who is he? Everybody in the States, be shooting all celebrities, Justin Bieber and you name it, you know. So he started off, I think, doing like Northside people, you know. He was like taking pictures of football matches, and then he went
Then
he went to News the World and stuff. So, and then I kind of look at him, and he's out in LA now. He's released, I think, his like fourth book, maybe, or his third or fourth book. And he's like, you know, he lives a good life as well. Mm. You know, he works very hard, but then when he takes them, he might take a month off during the summer and go sailing around fucking Ibiza. Oh. You know what I mean? So it is nice it is nice to have maybe, you know, work hard. I think, you know, work hard on big projects and, you know, put the work in, but also don't forget to, you know, you need to slow down every now and again and take a break, because I think when you are working for yourself, you're dealing with, you know, a lot all the time. That's when someone asked to assist me there recently, and they're like, I was like, oh, can I say, if any days assist? And I said, oh, I'm shooting on Tuesday, I'm shooting on Friday. And they're like, oh, well, I can only do one day because I've lots of edits I need to do. And I'm like, you have lots of edits you need to do? I'm like, you're fucking having a laugh. I've been shooting like solid for like, for like
20 years
for 4 months. So I'm like, just say yeah and show up.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of way.
And yes, that's so good. That's such a slogan.
Yeah,
just say yes and show up.
Yeah, yeah. And do whatever. I was doing anything. Like, I had a lad now, Dan, I asked him to shoot with me, come on and shoot with me. He's a really, really good photographer, and I basically had him holding a board on a beach standing behind it for the whole shoot. We didn't see anything for the whole thing. He just held this thing like this in the wind, a board as a backdrop, and he didn't give a shit. He just did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the end, it was like, how was that? And he was like, oh yeah, great. Cheers. Yeah. Great. But he understands, like, this is, you know, this
has
is
to be done.
This is part of it, you know, that kind of way. So I think I was just holding stuff for Barry, just a reflector, or getting cheese toasties down the shop. You know what I mean? So I think it's just about grafting. I think with any job as well. And then just sort of work. You do need to work hard. I think you'd be very lucky if you weren't putting in the hours and you managed to do well.
Mm. In Where this did that stuff. Work ethic come from? Have you always had it?
I think it probably just like, I guess, not really having any money when you're younger, you know, that kind of way. You're just like, I think my mom was just like, listen, if you can get a job, go and get a job, because, you know, she was like, I haven't got any money.
Yeah.
For you, so
absolutely.
Go out and work. And she worked I guess seeing her work all the time, she was always working. Even I think when we were working, she was still working nearly two jobs, you know, that kind of way. So I guess that was sort of, and then I definitely, if you're passionate about something, you'll work, you know, that kind of way. I don't know, but I did, even when I was working in any sort of job, I just put the hours in, even if it was coming in hungover.
Yeah,
I'd do it, you know. But for the first few years of just doing this job, I'd never really drink or anything. I was like, right, you know, you need to be fresh headed. And still now I'd be like, I can't be going in. You can't, when you're your own boss, you can't really go and hungover, can you?
Yeah, well, you don't really want to do it.
No, you don't.
I have
done it now. Not that often, you know what I mean? I have done it, but not that often.
Well, it's the beauty of, you know, working for yourself. There's certain luxuries that come with that, but then there's also the downside of her turning up hungover and you're the guy that has to answer the phone or take the photographs or do the work, you know?
Yeah, 100%. But I'm used to dealing kind of with, like, sometimes I'm like shooting and I'm dealing with emails and you're dealing with everything, you're dealing with your accounts and your account, and you're actually like, do you know what, I am fucking really good at this. I am just on a roll here. I'm banging jobs out today. I'm after, you know what I mean? I'm doing it all. And then there's other days I'm like, I am fucking chasing my tail here. I am fucking up shit's creek. But like, I mean, I guess that's just part of the job at the start, you know. It becomes easier after a while.
Where are you most confident?
Where am I most confident? I don't know. Like, if I have an idea, when it's your own idea, like, obviously sometimes clients come to you with an idea and like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to do. I think once you're, you know, and this is the job and, you know, this is what we're going to execute. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, when it's your own, you know, idea or it's your own shoot, like, I mean, that's when you have the most control.
Yeah.
You can tell people, no, we're not doing it this way we're doing it. Or this way I see we're doing it, you know? So I think that's probably just, yeah, I don't know. I'm confident and I don't know, but you'd be confident. Yeah, I think I'm always kind of quietly confident in jobs now. Even when I'm like, I think at the start it was almost like, I think, and I always say this now as well, but any of my friends who are in business now, there's always this like confidence stupidity that you sort of have when you're doing something, you know? Or like, if some of my friends would pretend, I'm going to do this, I'm going to set up this company, and I'd be like, And you joke, and then now you see they're fucking making, they've made a million already.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay, I get it. So yeah, it is a kind of like a stupid confidence that you go in with. So I think I'm stupidly confident, or I have been when I was starting out. So that's carried
me. It's not a bad way to be.
Carried me a while anyway.
What is a bit of a philosophical question, but
you're what is these quotes and questions today?
Sometimes I deliver them quite arseways. But what would be your definition of greatness?
Do you know what? That kind of changes over the, over the years with work. When I think definition of greatness, I was watching I don't know if you've seen it, that sushi documentary. Don't you see that guy? He's like a little lad. He has this, he's like 90-year-old and he's making sushi in Tokyo. Basically has this sushi restaurant in like a Tokyo subway somewhere, and it's like, you know, booked out for like 6 months. And he always said, like, you know, it's all about, you know, hard work and, you know, working hard and simplicity and kind of, you know, all the elements sort of coming together. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should be technically really, really good at what I do. Mm. And then when you're kind of speaking to different people, even my friend Tony, I was like, I'm going to be technically really good. That's what I want to do. I want to get everything like I need to know. And he was just like, you don't need to know that. You don't need to be technically good at anything. He's like, it's all about the image and, you know, what you're shooting and the work you're putting out. And he's like, all the technical shit, he's like, you can get someone to do that. If you don't know to use this camera, he goes, someone will show you how to use it. He's like, make it about the image. Mm. So I don't even know what the question was again. What was the question?
Well, it was a great answer for your definition of greatness.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just depends. Like, definition of greatness, I don't know. Like, now, like, my idea of what I wanted, like, I was like, I want to do this and I want to, you know, be this cool fucking photographer who shoots in the States. And I wanted, now I'm just like, I just want to, like, have a nice life. You know, and I want, like, your idea of what, you know, I wanted out of it kind of changes over the years. Now I'm just like, if I could, like, have a cushy old life there and just, like, you know, get to travel still and enjoy what I do, like, that's the definition of, like, greatness for me, you know, and not having that ego. I think when you're younger, you have this kind of ego, like, I'm going to be fucking deadly at this. Be the best at whatever and fuck, you know. But now I'm just like, just to enjoy my life and be able to, like, provide for, if I have a family, you know, kind of do that and still enjoy myself and get to do the things that I like to do as well as work and produce good work. I think that's sort of more important now when you get older, as opposed to just, like, going, I think I used to want to be, like, on the session and shooting celebrities and doing this. Like, I thought that's sort of what I was going to do. Like,
is it as you expected? Like, when you look back at that time when you started and you had the vision for what your life might be like as a photographer and to be successful. Yeah. And as you look at your life now, has it lived up to it? Has it exceeded your expectations?
It's definitely, like, exceeded. But I didn't know, like, what I was going to... I didn't exactly necessarily do very well in school or anything, or do, like, you know, I always knew I was going to do something arty, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. But I didn't exactly have an idea of what I was going to. When I left school, I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, right, I'll do, Dan did sound engineering, I'll just fucking do that as well, make music, maybe I can just, and I think me and him worked on a gig before, and, like, I think it was, like, Justin Timberlake or something played a gig here, and we were, like, just wrapping up cables after a gig, and I was like, I'm not fucking doing this shit. I was like, this is just, and you know, and I remember talking to some lad and he was about 60 and he was like, I've done all the gigs I've done, and he was just wrapping up cables, and I was like, there's the definition of hard work, and then there's just accepting that you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And I was like, no way. I think me and Dan, actually, we didn't even finish, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I love,
like,
that.
I don't want to do this. And then I knew, like, that was one thing I did. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I like making fucking beats on Reason or whatever the thing was, the beat making thing was at the time. And obviously Dan has obviously gone on and done quite well out of it, you know. But I was just like, this isn't me. This isn't what I want to do.
But that's why it's so important for people, I feel, you know, grown up, that they do many things. Many things.
You
have to know. A good way to find what you want to do or what you like or what you love in life is to find out first what you don't want to do or what you don't love.
And I think even, I think we had a, even, I think I got my first job when I was 14, I think 15, I think Super Value, just a facing off shelves. I don't even think you get a job that young anymore. Can you do like?
I don't think so. I think there's laws in place now. Yeah. And I, same with me. I was 14. I got a job in from Waterford, and there was a restaurant, pub restaurant called the City Arms, and I was 13 or 14, and I used to get paid at the end of the week, cash into a brown envelope.
Yeah, totally legal.
Like, absolutely. But
I just don't see that really anymore. And I think that's where maybe that's where that sort of work ethic comes from. It's just like working all the time. I remember even like Saturday and Sunday now, and I'd be hungover being super quint, like literally like in bits after like six cans of Dutch Golf. And that was kind of, and you just work through it, you know. You always, we used to work, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday after school, and then Saturday and Sunday I just do, and I'd still go out and the night before or whatever for those kind of jobs. I remember even showing up to one day, and the boss was like, "Are you hungover?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "What, you're not meant to come into work hungover?" And I'm like, "I'm pushing trolleys around the fucking car park, like, I'm 17, like, let me enjoy my life."
That's drinking and driving with your trolley.
But yeah, that's
so what you're saying is you accredit all your success to Supergrin.
Supergrin, yeah. Poor old Quinn. No, but just, I think, yeah, working early definitely gives you a bit of a, I think, an experience of like how to show up on time for even a job. I don't even know people showing up, and I'm saying to them, "You're fucking late again." I'm like, "Oh, it's grand." I'm like, "If you know fucking, what's the word, punctuality. Like, if you know,
is that the most frustrating thing in your line of work?
No, because, you know, I've probably shown up late for things as well. Like, the thing, it gets to the stage now where I show up at the time, I'm sitting there for 2 hours with the hair and makeup's getting done.
Yeah,
you know, that's one thing I've learned. You need to, what time do you need me at? 10. What time is hair and makeup at? 10. Okay, sure, I'll be there at 11.
Yeah, all right, very good.
But that's obviously just like, you can't do that if you're starting
tricks
out.
The trade.
Somebody will be just like, "Right, fuck him, he hasn't shown up on time."
Yeah. Final question, okay, and then I'll let you go. It's another philosophical one.
Okay.
How would you like to be remembered?
Jeez, I don't know. And do you know what? I actually was even thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, Jesus, I need to like put together some sort of like book or something of work.
Yes, absolutely.
But like, I mean, that's years away, sure. Years and years and years. I said it to Jenny as well. I was like, I was talking about getting a house. I was like, fucking, like, it says, you're not going to be known as like a cool fucking photographer when you're like 60. And she's like, "No, you never know. Maybe you will. Maybe you will be the cool photographer when
absolutely.
You're 60.
Absolutely.
I suppose Barry McCall, he's still the fucking.
What's the really famous? There's like, it's one name. He's a photographer.
Rankin.
Is it Rankin? He's in his 60s, is he not?
No, he's not in his 60s. He's only 50s, maybe.
Is he? No, clear, near enough.
Yeah, there's probably a few. One
could
name.
Break boundaries here, Evan.
Yeah, no. Listen, like I said, I'll be just happy to, you know, fucking be able to pay the bills. Buy a gaff, that would be me.
Really?
Me.
What would you want people to say about you? Like, not necessarily about your work, in general.
About me?
They're at your wake. There's a pint of Guinness being poured.
Oh, Jesus.
What hell are people saying?
Saying, he was a moany bastard. He was a grumpy old bastard. I don't know.
Not a Capricorn by any chance, are you?
I am a Capricorn, yeah. How do you know that? Are you a star?
What am I like? I have guessed every single star sign that sat in that chair every single week.
Really?
For 52 episodes, yes.
Jesus, really?
I'm an absolute fucking astrology genius.
You're in the wrong game.
I'm telling you.
Mind
Mystic
that MMA.
Mystic Bleeding Meg.
Mystic Meg. Really? Have you guessed them all?
Yeah, every single one, yeah.
That's mad. How is that now?
Because I study the universe. No, I'm obsessed with astrology.
Yeah, Jenny
love
is
star
as well.
Signs, and I've there's a book. It's called Moon, and it's basically, I can't remember who it's written by, but she goes into she's a former therapist, psychologist, but she studied symbolism and astrology for years, and like loads of religions and stuff. But she goes into the breakdown of astrology and the star signs and personality traits. So the personality traits that are associated with star signs go back to a time when we were cave people.
Okay.
And you were assigned different jobs within your community or your
community,
whatever.
Yeah.
So if you were born in March in the morning time, you would be assigned jobs within the water in daytime, like so building boats or whatever, because you're programmed to wear the sun and the moon has revolved around the earth.
Okay.
There's all this mag stuff. A bit wild. Yeah. But I like a little bit of wildness.
Jenny's into that stuff as well. She's like, oh, you're blah, blah, blah. You're married to your job or something, whatever it is. Yeah. Capricorn, you're...
Yeah. Well, Capricorns are very moany. Yeah. Although you're not that moany.
Well,
maybe you just don't show me because I'm only in here a couple hours a week.
I think I'm more grumpy than moany.
Yeah. Would you find yourself stuck in your stuck in your opinions?
Would I be stuck in my opinions?
Yeah. Like, would you grit it out? Would you refuse to admit you were wrong or that your way of thinking was?
I guess I can be stubborn at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a sea goat.
Yeah, I guess I can be stubborn. I do know some other Capricorns and they've said it to me, oh, you're a Capricorn, aren't you? Yeah. And I can see they're kind of a bit odd.
Yeah. Is your girlfriend a fire sign?
She's Scorpio, was
Scorpio,
that?
November-ish?
Yeah, she's November 18th, so it's Scorpio, isn't it?
Very passionate. Yeah. Very emotionally deep.
Probably, I don't know. But she's mad into all that stuff. She's always telling me about fucking star signs and all that. And even her dad was giving her going, she's into fucking astrology and bullshit. So there you go.
Get the holy water quick.
But I suppose you want to be remembered for... I would like to produce, obviously, remembered for work I produced. So, but I mean, there's a long way to go. I think I'm only kind of starting now, really, you know.
I love that you view that where you are now is that you're only starting out.
Yeah, I think it's like it's because I think it takes so long for you to sort of gain trust for people. And I think still like you're still kind of doing that with work, you know. And I just think it takes a long time, but everything's like a slow burner. And I'm always saying that to people who are starting out. I'm like, people get onto me on Instagram. This is terrible. I'm only starting out now and it's fucking lockdown. This is a load of shit. And I'm like, oh, look, I started out in the start of a recession. I guess it was the start of the recession, 2012, just towards the, you know, it was a recession anyway. Mm. Even when I was talking about getting a space in town, sure, there was loads of spaces you could rent and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just saying to them now, look, just, you know, now is a good time to start. But you just can't and I say to them, where are you living? I'm living home with my mom and dad. And what are you doing? Oh, just, you know, I'm working in the cafe. I'm like, but then stay working in the cafe. Live home with your mom and dad. But like when you're off, you know, organize shoots or there's always people who want, especially now. Like I find like even now more so, everybody has like digital cameras were expensive in 2012. Mm. Like even a Canon camera, like a low end would have cost you about $1,500. Now you can get gear for cheap and everybody kind of has, you know, everyone's being creative now. So I think now more so than ever is the time to start.
Mm.
You know, I think around these kind of times are times to be creative. You can see even with art and prints now, everyone, even including myself, was like support artists. I was buying prints online and all that kind of stuff. So I think if you're going to start, like now is the time to start. And especially in the freelance sort of, you know, art world or photography world, I think, you know, you just got to keep shooting what you love and, you know, and I think if you are really passionate about it, you know, it'll work, you know.
What a fantastic note to leave our interview on. Very inspirational, Evan. Motivational speaking night, I think you should go into next.
Me and you can go into quotes, motivational speaking, astrology together.
I'll do the quotes, you do the photo that will go on the opposite page for the book, right?
Deal.
Thank you so much for coming in.
No problem at all.
That was really, really cool.
Yeah, that was
thank
cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
Did you?
I did.
Are you just saying that because in front of you?
No, I know. I did enjoy it. I did. Because you go into these things normally and you're just like, I don't know. Like I've done a few of them and one of them, the guy I did it with, now he just didn't even ask me any questions, really. I think it was just me talking.
Yeah.
Rambling, you know what I mean? I liked your philosophical
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Some of them I just know the answers. Like, But that worked.
But yeah, I always get a little bit, because obviously this was our first time meeting.
Yeah.
And when people come in that I haven't met before, I know that they're just so nervous, like, not nervous because of like me or anything. They're just nervous about what the fuck is she going to ask me? I'm stuck here then. So immediately I'm like, don't worry.
I always get asked, even online, so the same sort of questions. So I'm usually used to, you know, you normally have like mental script in your head.
Yeah.
When you're answering them, you know, people always ask me that. It's always the same questions.
Like what? Give me an example of
just,
what you
It's always just like, it's on Instagram, you always get asked questions and it's like, you know, how did you start and what, how do you make money basically? But it's, I can see there's definitely, and what's after happening now is there's definitely a sort of like an impatience now with money and people making money because, you know, there are vloggers or bloggers or whatever the fuck online now who are doing like YouTube videos and they're like, I've made 20 grand in a month doing the YouTube.
Yes.
So kids are now going, oh, you know, fuck, how can I can't make fucking 20? Yeah. And they won't even like stick it out. Like for people.
And it's the end point. They're looking, they're not enjoying the destination,
the journey. No.
Here we go back to philosophy. It's the journey.
Yeah, 100%.
It's getting there, right?
And I think it's like, it's even with, I think, Instagram as well, it kind of changes the way people shoot things now. You're not even, like, I put up photos sometimes on Instagram that I love, and it's like, you know, there's not much engagement at all with the photo. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I like it anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, people are, like, shooting stuff to like, please Instagram.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, doing it because they, you know, have a certain vision or they like it. So there's definitely a lot of, like, you know, Instagram sort of photographers there are people who want to shoot but like actually, you know, or they want to shoot like there's a certain aesthetic now on Instagram that everybody's going to shoot. You know what I mean? So
but can you see the draw to creating for an audience?
No, 100%. Like I know,
because it's a trap you could, well, sometimes I find like when I put up anything like, you know, like opinionated or something where I'm like, this is brilliant, this post. Again, the engagement is low. But then if I put up a photograph with me, I don't know, my arse out or something. Well, not that my arse is out, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Of course,
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, or like, I'm on the beach swimming and because I'm in a swimsuit, it gets like triple the amount. You know, this type of shit, you know?
I even find that when I put a picture of me on Instagram, it gets more likes just because I don't think I ever do.
Yeah, you know well, what I mean? Is that because people are like, know your work.
Somebody was writing to me recently and he was talking to me for ages and he was like, oh, he was a photographer and he's like doing good stuff and he's asking all these questions. And
send me
always,
a pig.
Always writing.
Can I get a pig? Can I get a pig of your feet?
Always writing to me and I think I did an article with somebody and screenshot and he wrote back to me and was like, no way, you're a bloke. Because my picture is a girl just from a photo shoot I done. And I was like, I was like, what's thing? It was a fucking... And then I was like looking at his messages and I was like... And then
the context suddenly changes.
I sent him a video and I was like, yeah, I'm a bloke. This is me here. And he was like, jeez, and you sound like a bloke as well. And now he's always obviously scarlet and he's always writing to me going, oh, fuck's sake.
At least you're still in touch with each other.
He's always like, hey, babes, and sends me a kissy face that's buzzing off my head now. But... yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, there's often times, and I mean, I've done it as well. I've put up photos. I'm like, I don't even fucking like this, but I know I get loads of likes on Instagram. So, you know what I mean? I have been, you know, I think virality is sort of a thing now, isn't it? Even like, that's just the way the business is.
I haven't
is
heard
going.
That word before. Virality?
Yeah, like when I don't even know if it is a word, but like, say you're like doing like, say you're shooting like a magazine cover and they're like, you know, this is obviously will sell well and kind of probably go like, you know, get engagement online.
Yeah.
So I think like stories now, it's even when it comes to kind of like print media, I guess the story kind of has to be like, you know, make sense to, you know, people will enjoy it online as well, you know? So that's just kind of the way it's, I guess it's, you know, imagery is so important now, but it's all just sort of, everything is just online now, isn't it?
Well, listen, it's a new world.
Yeah.
You know it's long gone are the days of Bebo and MySpace.
Yeah, jeez. I assume you would have been if you're in music. You're in a band.
Oh yeah, MySpace. We were like that one.
What was your band called?
Sweet Jane.
Sweet Jane. And what did you play?
I sang.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was the lead singer.
How long were you going for?
Like 8 years, 9 years.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Signed to Universal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I look completely different.
No way.
Yeah. I was a nightmare back in them days.
Really?
Oh, it was terror.
So you're probably a big sesh.
Well. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez, yeah. Dan is saying.
Well, I was just going to say, was that many a session with your brother?
Yeah.
The Things, Mainline.
Oh, yeah.
Sick
the
Boy.
Things, yeah. What was his name again, your man, The Things?
Neil O'Thing.
Yeah.
Rory, the bass player out of The Things, ended up being the bass player for Sweet Jane. So you remember Mainline, all the black leather jackets? Yeah, there's about nine of them in the band.
Yeah.
So Daniel and a couple of the boys, that's who my band, that's who I was in. That's how I knew Dan and the lads. So that was the link there.
That was
there.
Mad. Little scene, wasn't
that
it?
That time was like the wildest. Yeah. Now that I look back on it, like, maybe it's because I'm out of the loop of music now, but that scene was so... It was the closest thing to like... the CBGB's era in New York, that, you know, like, it when people mental. When I used to read about that, that was the closest thing. That it was just this we used to like go to every, you know, we'd go down to pubs on the Keys or the Early House, and then we'd drink all day. We'd be in Doran's back. Jeez, when like Doran's was hopping.
I remember being in Doran's and it was like fucking like,
remember the days of Republic of Loose when they were starting out, and there was all those sessions locking doors.
It was like Pete Doherty, Shane McGowan, like it'd be like fucking like hopping, and it smelled of like piss.
Yeah.
But it was like always in Doran's. Like on just a normal night, and all, like, I remember Dan's gigs, you'd be sitting in the back room and like, it's fucking some like kip.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like you're sitting in a Jack's with no toilet in the basement. You'd all be drinking cans
rancid.
On the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, is that shit still going on, that kind of those
I
gigs and stuff?
I don't think it's as bad as it was.
Yeah.
But like, maybe nostalgia is like a weird thing. But I'm very glad that time has passed for me. Person, but
well, so was Dan.
What a sesh.
Like, him and his bird used to come back and it'd be like 3 days later, and I remember the door open and it'd be like 2 o'clock and like a fucking Monday, and I'd be like,
was carnage. It was carnage.
They were looked manky.
We used to go out on like Thursday night, and some of the lads who used to work, that we'd meet and we'd all go out on a Thursday night, and then we'd be on the sesh Friday, and then we'd have gigs to play on the Saturday. So we'd be coming from a 2 day rollover, and we'd be going up to bleeding Galway or whatever it is to play a gig, come back, you get home on the Sunday like 12, 1 o'clock in the day, phone out, who's still out? And then you've everyone else on the rollover, on the 3 day rollover.
I can't even
how we were alive. I just do not know.
I have a glass of wine now and I'm like, oh, I'm a bit tired the next day. Jesus,
literally.
The session, Doran's and all, geez, they're mad nights out, weren't they?
Really,
I got fucked out of a gig before my ma was like bringing like Dan's drums in, and I think, I don't know what happened, but I think I had my jack off and was swinging around like a helicopter. I don't know, they were supporting some English band. It was like a big gig.
Yeah.
I think it was like a freshers ball gig in like DCU or something. I can't remember, and I got fucked out. I remember my mom tried to like get off him. And she got thrown out as well. Then the thing was always, all his mates just goes, remember your ma got thrown out of that gig? She's, my ma used to drive Dan's gear everywhere.
No,
she
fair
was,
play
like,
to her.
Pulling up and outside at whatever time, 12 o'clock. I remember all Dan's mates trying to like throw, putting their arms on me ma, locked and all. Sandra, do you want to hand with the gear? And all.
Good times.
Jesus, yeah.
Good times.
He's two kids now, Dan. He's like two girls.
But his eldest daughter must be about 12 or 13 now, is she?
Yeah.
I remember when she was born. Oh my God, that is so terrifying.
Yeah. I know. I was in the house the other day, and I'm like, why did you get Melody? And she's like, 13.
Melody. Yeah. What a beautiful name. Yeah.
I'm 13 now. That even like scares me, because everyone's like, you're going to be having kids soon. I'm like, what?
Absolutely.
I don't know if it'd be fucking be a few years now before I have kids. But this isn't the podcast, is it? Maybe a few years before I have kids anyway. Jesus, yeah. Have you kids? Have you?
No, I don't. No.
Have you kids?
No.
Fuck that. No.
I definitely do want kids.
Yeah, I was
my mother's
like,
going like, you want to hurry up at 36?
Yeah.
39. 39 would be my age.
There was no kids, and then my eldest brother had, he has 4 kids now, and Adonis 2.
No way.
Yeah, so.
Adonis.
No, he said Dan has. Adonis.
Sounds like an exotic
sounds
name.
Sounds like a fragrance. Adonis for men. Dan is 2, and the male's brother Aaron, he's only a few years old. He's 4. I'm like, I can't.
Well, your house is filled with children's joy.
Like it went from being Christmas, like nobody there, and then like 10 years later, or even 13 years later, I should say now, it's just like kids and cousins and everything.
That's the buzz.
I was all about, though, let me sort out my shit first and I have kids.
Yeah, well, you're right, dude. That's the way I am. You know, although it's kind of taking a little bit longer than I anticipated.
I know, now I'm kind of like, I should have had kids years ago. I probably would,
They'd be rare now. They'd be working for you. You'd have a load of assistants rolling around the gap. But listen, thank you so much for coming in. That was really, really cool. Really enjoyed it.
No probs.
Thank you again.
No probs at all.
Evan Doherty for the First Exchange Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.